Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Word of God this morning. Praise God. And before we do that, I want to talk to you for just a moment this morning. You know, you can't start a new beginning. You can't go back and start it all over. If that were the case, we'd have a perfect world, because everybody would go back and correct things if they know they could have done better on, or that they should have done different. And I know myself, I would love the opportunity, I guess, to go back and to correct some things that that I know that I did wrong. Hindsight's always 20/20. And so, if I had the opportunity, there's many things, perhaps as you might, that I would do different in my life if I had a chance to do it over. But in this life, you don't get the chance to do those things over. So you cannot start a new beginning. However, you can begin a new ending. You can start today and change the outcome of your life. If you're not heading in the right direction, you can change that outcome today, and you can find what is an expected end. Praise God. The winds of change bring fire and feed the fire of our lives. I don't know about you, but I've had lots of problems in my life. Any of you ever had problems? I've had a lot of problems in my life. Sometimes it just seemed like everything I touched just seemed to just burn to the ground. Seemed like everything I touched just went up in smoke. And you know, usually at those times in your life when you start seeing things take place like that, it just seems like one thing leads to another. And it just seems like this thing just catches flame and just starts burning to the ground. And next thing you know, it catches everything around it on fire. And you know, some people, everything they touch just seems to turn to gold. And I guess they're the flip side of my life, because in my life, many times, everything I touch just seemed to just burn to the ground or just go up in smoke. And, you know, it's the changes in life. There's one thing that absolutely will never change, and that's the fact that there's always going to be change. There's always going to be change. The Bible tells us, turn to Ecclesiastes 3. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And it goes on and tells us all of the times and the seasons, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, and so on and so forth. And there are many, 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 many seasons of our lives that we go through. And it seems to be sometimes that those seasons of change are what fuels the fire in our lives and what brings chaos in our lives. But we have to understand that there's reasons for that. There's reasons for that, and you know, when we start seeing those fires in our lives, you know, when a fire first starts, when it first gets started, if you've ever seen a grass fire, perhaps you've seen them or started some at some point in your life, but you start a grass fire, when you first start that grass fire, you can just walk over there and stomp it out, or if you have a little bonfire and it gets over in the grass and starts to spread, you can stomp it out or smack it out with a shovel or a stick, but if it gets out of, if it gets a little further beyond that, then you can take a water hose and you can wipe it out. And if it gets to where that it's burning even at more out of control than that, then perhaps you might have to call in some help. And then you call the fire department and they'll bring in an engine. One fire department will bring in its equipment and they'll put the fire out. But it can even go beyond that, and once it gets beyond that, then it might turn into what's called a multi-alarm fire, more than one alarm fire, and so that means that they're calling more than one fire station to bring in their equipment and assist in putting the fire out. Sometimes that fire gets to burning out of control. And at some point, sometimes that fire cannot be contained any longer, and the only thing you can do is start trying to evacuate out in front of the fire. And in times of my life, it seems, I don't know about you, but I've been through some real trials in my life. And in the past several years of my life especially, it seems like man, I have really been through some trials and some fires in my life. And man, I ought to be a fireman, as many fires as I put out in my family and things in the past several years. And you know, I tell you, man, it's tough sometimes to hold on to your faith and to be strong. But man, you know, once a fire gets to burning too far out of control, you just have to move out of the way, because you see that it's going down and you just need to get out of the way of it, or take you down with it. But I want us to understand this morning, there's reasons for the fires in our lives. There are reasons for the things that happen in our lives. And I want us to look at that this morning. How are we chosen? The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Actually, all are called, because the Bible says in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul." There's two types of rest in that scripture. There's the rest that the Lord gives you. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's the rest that the Lord gives you. And then if you go on further, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Because if you're going to work for somebody, you got to know what your job is. You got to know something about who you're working for. "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul." When you start to work for the Lord, it simulates work right there. "Take my yoke upon you." That assimilates work. Seeking and searching those scriptures, "Learn of me." And in the scriptures, you find rest all the way to your soul. There's two types of rest there. There's the rest that you're given and the rest that you have to find. That's not the message this morning. But that scripture right there is a very powerful scripture. That's a whole other message in itself. But the Bible says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He called everybody. But how are we chosen? Turn with me to Isaiah 48:10. Isaiah 48:10. The Bible says, if you've got it, say praise the Lord. The Bible says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." That is where we're chosen at. That's the proving ground right there. We are chosen in the furnace of affliction. God doesn't choose you out on the mountaintop. God chooses you in the valleys of your life. This is where God sees what you're made of. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Everybody can jump and shout and praise the Lord and worship when their pockets are bulging out with money, when their bills are paid up 6 months in advance, when they're getting raises on a regular basis, when everything's coming up roses. But man, I want to tell you about it. The true worship comes in the valleys. The true worship comes when you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, praise God. The true worship comes when you got nothing going right. There's nothing coming up right. Everything seems to be falling in around you. And you can still look up and say, "I love you anyway, Jesus. I'm going to serve you anyway. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him." Praise God. That's where the true worship comes in. That's when God sees what you're really made of. Oh, anybody can serve God when when everything is going right. But praise God. I don't understand why sometimes things have happened the way they've happened in my life. You know, Job, the Bible says, was a perfect man. Now, we know no man is perfect in the same sense as Jesus is perfect, but he was as perfect as a man could be. He was a very devout man of God, and we know that Job was, the Bible says, a perfect man before God, but the Lord still allowed him to go through some things. Let me tell you something, church. If you can't go through the fire, you cannot go. You're not going to skate through the doors of heaven. heaven. You're not going to just waltz in through the gates of heaven. There's going to be some trials in your life. There's going to be some proving ground. There's going to be some ground that you're going to have to go through in your life. That's going to separate the goats from the sheep. It's going to separate the men from the boys and the women from the girls, so to speak. Praise God. Oh, I had a pastor tell me one time. I was young in the ministry and, man, just coming up full of zeal. I was on fire, man. I tell you what, it took a brick wall to stop me, man. I'm telling you. I get going so fast, and sure enough, I'd run into one and it stopped me. But had a pastor tell me one time, he said, "Have you been through the fire?" I said, "Oh, man, yeah. Whoo, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, oh, let me tell you, I've been through the fire. Yes, sir, have, oh, yeah." He said, "Well, that's good. That's good, because you got to go through the fire. Because you sure going to go through the fire. Oh, yeah, I've been through the fire." Oh. Oh. Man. Woo, I'm going to tell you, I'd never even seen a fire at that point. Man, let me tell you, I hope at this point I've been through the fire. I hope I've been through the fire, but I won't make that same statement I made that time, because I was certainly as wrong as I could be then, and I sure hope I'm not wrong in saying that now. So I'm not even going to say that. I hope that I've been through the fire. But you're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some tribulations, and you're going to go through some afflictions. The Bible says in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. That clearly tells you right there that, listen, the Bible also says in the book of Job, it says, man born of a woman, his days are few and full of trouble. Now, that's not condescending to women. That's nothing against women. It just means that men that come by the natural way, natural men, are going to go through some things, and their days are few, and your life is going to be full of troubles. And the more you serve God, man, the more you're going to go through. I tell you, the devil's not worried. I see people all the time, and it seems like everything they touch just turns to gold. And you know, And they claim to be Christians, but I see them doing things just like you say, brother. You know, "Oh, yes, sir. Oh, I'm not a Christian. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to see you." And then you see them coming out of a bar down here with somebody that's not their wife on their arm. And you see them doing all sorts of things that's not becoming of a godly man or a woman. But yet everything they touch just seems to turn to gold. You see, every job they bid, they get it. They can be $10,000 high, still get the job. I mean, it just seems like they have favor everywhere they turn. Well, you know, you have to understand that, listen, the devil has the ability to grant those things too. The devil's the prince of this world, and he has dominion over monies and things like that. He has powers too, and he's able to give. Just as he offered Jesus, he said, "All these things shall I give you if you'll just bow." He says, "It has given me the power to give these things to you." He has the power to do it, and so he can give gifts too, and he certainly will if he thinks he can bind you up with those things and blind you to the truth. And so many people are following that message today. Can't we all just get along? And we're all going to the same place. Doesn't matter what church you go to. No, it doesn't matter what church you go to, because it's not the church name that's going to get you to heaven. Praise God. It doesn't say, if my people, it doesn't say in the Bible that you never see where Paul said, "Hi, I'm Paul, a Pentecostal. Hi, Paul, I'm a Baptist. Hi, Paul, I'm this." It says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ." Praise God. I don't care what the name is over the door. What I want to know is, what's the name that's on me? The Bible says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and I will heal their lands." Praise God. But I tell you, you know, people that think walking a walk for God and living a life for God is a walk in the park. Oh, man, you couldn't be further from the truth. Man, there's going to be some trials, tribulations. There's going to be some sicknesses. There's going to be some afflictions, the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you, church, he's an at-the-wire God. Man, I'll tell you what, my wife has seen it. I'll tell you, man, I ought to be bald right here where my head has come in under that wire so many times so close. There'll not be no scalp left there, much less hair. I mean, it just seems like God takes me right to the wire. How's your faith today, Travis? How's your faith looking today, son? When I get up in the morning, oh, it's real good till you start getting them phone calls and you start getting things coming in. And problems on this side and problems on that side. And that's where the Lord finds out how's your faith doing today. Praise God. That's why we need to be a praying church. That's why we need to be prayerfully considering everything that we do before we do it. Praise God. Why do problems come? Problems come because of your righteousness. Problems come because of your righteousness. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Problems come because of lack of patience. James 1, 2, and 3 says the trying of our faith worketh patience. Don't ever pray for patience. I know you've heard that before. Man, the Lord will sure oblige you. That's one prayer that I believe he answers every single time. I mean right then. If somebody prays for patience, I mean, just seems like that's a prayer he is just waiting and chomping at the bit to answer right there. Praise God. I think the Lord's pretty fond of patience. Praise God. Sometimes it's to prove your loyalty. Look at the three Hebrew children. They went into the fire because they would not bow themselves and worship an idol. No matter what. I believe it's coming to that. I believe this world's coming to that. Man, I do a lot of studying on end time prophecies, and I do a lot of studying on the mark of the beast and these chips that are going in people right and left and the prison camps. And I told you I'm going to get you some DVDs on that. I've got some at the house right now that I want to get you on that. I'm telling you, there's prison camps all over this country. If you don't know about it, ICE officers are guarding them right now, and they're set up just like the old prison camps in Stockholm, Germany. I believe it was Stockholm where they had the prisoners, the Jews that were in those camps there. They've got the same exact setup right here in America right now. Enough to hold over 100 million people.
Yeah, I looked on the internet. Yeah.
See that? Yeah. Did you see what they look like? Well, I've got pictures of them where they went in, and I mean them ICE officers, they're out in the middle of nowhere, man. These ICE officers are like, get that camera out of here, you know, and he said, I have a right. He said, you have no rights here. Get out of here. I mean, they was running them off, and they've got the Constantina wire around the top, train tracks running by them, and they've got numbers, green and red and blue numbers on there, and their lines of fence is not cut out yet, but where they're going to put, they have them lined out where they can just put them right on trains, okay, blue 2 or yellow 6. You're so-and-so. Get on there. And when people do rise up against this chip system, I saw Buffett again last night. Buffett is one of the head dudes in this thing. Kissinger's also a member of Bilderberg. He's a big-time member of it. You better keep your eyes on Kissinger, I'm going to tell you right now. You better watch Kissinger very close. He is a prime candidate for the Antichrist. I've thought that for a long time, and now a lot of people that I've talked to in some big circles tend to agree. He really fits a lot of the criteria, including his name, adding up to 666 in that code. So anyway, nevertheless, that's not the message today, but I tell you, I believe it's coming. I believe it's coming to a time where it's going to be people having to prove their loyalty to Jesus' name. We're going to have to prove ourselves, I believe, at some point. Whether you believe in a mid-trib rapture or a pre-trib rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, or a mid-tribulation rapture, either way, if the Lord tarries, you're going to see some perilous times. The Bible said in the end, perilous times shall come. And they're coming. Man, a lot of them are already here. I've never in my life, and they can say all they want to say. I know some of you may. I don't know how old everybody is here. I know my mother went through the Great Depression. And I know that, man, you know, that was a tough time. But we're looking at possibly a great depression in this country now. We're on the brink of it even as we speak. People try to soften that blow. People try to say it's not a depression. They're wanting to call it a recession and talk about how the things are going to change and come back around. And listen, man, that'd be great and wonderful if they do. But when you look at the Bible and look at all the things that have to take place and you know they've already started, that's the thing. When you look and you know that they've already started, you see Israel surrounded. You see all of the things coming against Israel. You see, I'm telling you, church, we are on the brink of a disaster. We are on the brink of a disaster. The other morning, I was sitting at the house, and I love it when the Lord speaks to me. How many of you ever had the Lord just really just speak right to you and tell you things or give you a vision? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing when He does that. I love it when He does that. And I was sitting at the table, and I was studying. And I just out of nowhere, the Lord just said, there's going to be an earthquake. I thought, what? Where did that come from, you know? I just went on about my business, and there's going to be an earthquake. So I said, honey, there's going to be an earthquake. She went, okay. All right, honey, whatever you say. You know, the next day I was checking my emails, and on the front page of the website, on the front page of the internet page, it said, earthquake in Mexico. And I had told my mother the same thing. And then I called her and said, well, sure enough, there was an earthquake in Mexico. The next day, there was another earthquake. Folks, we're going to see some tough, tough times. And we're going to go through some serious fires, such as never were before, nor ever again shall be. If the Lord tarries and we're not raptured out of here soon and very soon, you're going to have to endure some tough, tough times. It's going to be so bad. Remember what the Bible said. The Bible said that the very elect would not make it. But for the very elect's sake, He had shortened the days. The days have been shortened. They will be shortened. So because of that particular scripture right there, that shows that the Lord Himself changed His mind. The Lord changed His mind right there. Well, you can go there to Thessalonians. It says, be not confused. This thing shall not happen until that man of perdition be revealed. The Antichrist, until he be revealed. And so that lends us to believe that there's a mid-tribulation rapture, because that happens at 42 months. In Revelations, that happens at 42 months when he's revealed and he's over in Israel at the temple. But the thing is, that one scripture there in Revelations that says that the very elect would not make it except the days be shortened. But for the very elect's sake, the days have been shortened. They are shortened. And so because of that, Jesus could come anytime. Jesus could come anytime. Because that's the book of the end. And that's where he states that the days have been shortened. So, knowing that, we need to be prepared to endure. And knowing that there's many reasons to purify, to clean, to sanctify. Let's look over here at Zechariah. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. It says in verse 7. Zechariah 13 verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7 says this, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. That word fellow means comrade or kindred man. Saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones, And it shall come to pass that all that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Listen carefully now, church. Listen, right here it says two parts of them. He breaks them into three parts. Two of them shall be cut off. And because they're cut off, they're going to die. What that's talking about right there, church, is talking about, look, in other words, those are the people that the carpet's been pulled out from under their feet. How many of you ever had that happen to you? How many of you ever had somebody just come in and just pull your life right out from under you, man? Everything's going good. Everything's like going down the interstate, man. Everything's going great. Boom, you have a blowout. Just ruined, you just changed your whole day right there. It changed all your plans. Everything stops right there, and you have to reconstruct your day. Well, here's talking about that these children of God, this household of God here, this people of God, two-thirds of them, two parts of them are going to be cut off. And because they're cut off, they will die. In other words, those are the ones that say, well, God, if you, how many of you ever heard anybody say, I just don't believe that if God loved us, he'd let babies die and the sick do this and this do that. Listen, he's a sovereign God. We don't understand why he does everything he does, but it's not for us to understand why, when, where, and how, because his ways are so much higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. Who can know them? It's not for us to understand, and we couldn't comprehend it if he allowed us to. So, those are the people that would say, and we see them nowadays in times as well. Everything's great. They love the Lord until something goes wrong in their life, until they lose a loved one, or they lose their money or lose their job. And then they say, well, God wouldn't do me like this. And you see them falling out of the churches right and left. Ministers leaving the pulpit. Ministers leaving the church. Man, I had half a congregation get stole from me one time. Three-quarters of a congregation just got this preacher come through with a big fancy damn church. And man, I mean, just boom, they were gone. Faithful people to the church. It makes you just want to reach out and bite on a tree a while. Well, now that could have just caused me to say, well, I quit, Lord. Man, it just caused me to heat up, speed up, praise God. It doesn't matter to me whether I'm preaching to 2 or 3 people or 2 or 300 people. I'm going to preach my lungs out, praise God. This is how I'm going to die right here. I prayed to the Lord. This is how I want to go right here, preaching the gospel. Praise God. And I believe God's going to grant me that. So if I happen to be preaching a service one day and fall out, y'all just keep worshiping God, shovel me out there, lean me against a tree, and y'all don't worry about it after church. I'll keep till after church, praise God, and y'all just keep right on worshiping. But praise God, that would cause a lot of people to quit. And that's what it's talking about right here. And I know people that have quit and left the church and gotten out because of things going wrong in their life. And it says, I will cut them off and they will die. But the third part, oh, here's the part I want. The third part shall be left therein. Oh, and I will bring the third part through the fire, praise God. And it says, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, praise God. See, to see how pure are you. That's how you test gold, to see how pure it is. Well, now I think they have some other type of acid tests and things, but there was a time when you had to put the fire to it to see what kind of gold it was, how pure it was, by how long it took and what type of temperature it took to melt it. Praise God. Listen, I want to be pure because I don't want the Lord to have to set me ablaze with this hottest white hot fire that he has. Because listen, when you're full of impurities, when you're still in that rock form, man, and you've got all those impurities in you, God's got to put a mighty heat under you to extract the gold out of that and burn away those impurities. But you know, when you get that down to 24 karat gold, praise God, you can just take a lighter and put under it. You can melt that gold. It don't take very much heat when you're pure. So God don't have to set you on fire and destroy everything you got and rip away all of your possessions and take away everything you got to get you to listen and pay attention when you're pure. It don't take near as long for you to see God. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When I get up in the morning and things ain't going right, I see God in that. When I see something going wrong, when I see something doing this or doing that, I see God in that. When you begin to see, when you have a pure heart toward God, you see him in every little thing. Even in the problems, Had a lady one time, praise God, wonderful woman of God, and I'll tell you, her husband just a, I guess the happiest, joyous person I've ever met. I've never seen the man with a frown on his face. Never seen him with a frown on his face. I try to smile a lot, but you know, I do get some frowns occasionally, and I'm sure somebody's caught a snapshot of it along the way, but I've never seen this man do anything but smile. He had a stroke, and yet she was up there, and she was going to testify. He was having some testimonies in the service, and she stood up, and she said, well, I just want to thank the Lord for my husband's in the hospital with a stroke, and I want to thank God for it. She said, you know, tears began to run down her cheek, and she said, you know, the other day I was talking to the Lord, and I could have said, God, why did you do this? Oh, God, why would you do this to my husband and to my family? We've been devout Christians. We are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And, Lord, we serve you with everything that we have. Lord, mind, body, soul, and spirit, with every ounce of strength we have. God, I could have said, God, why would you do that? But she said, you know, it just came to my mind. And the first thing I could get out of my mouth was, Jesus, how are you going to get glory from this? How are you going to receive glory? How are you going to be glorified through this, God? Oh, that's a pure heart. When you can look at a situation like that and know that it's for the glory of God. Hallelujah. When you can see it as glory instead of a downtrodden problem that you have. Praise God, your heart's on its way to purity. Praise God. That part that he brings through the fire. He said, they shall call on my name. This is after you've been through the fire. Hallelujah. He said, they shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I don't know about you, church, but I sure need the Lord to be hearing me. When I need him, I need him. Praise God. And I've prayed many times, and I know the Lord's answer was just no. And I thought it just wasn't an answer. Why won't you answer me, God? I did answer you. It was no. And it's still no. You know, well, I don't understand that sometimes, but he's God and I'm not. I'm his servant. And I have to follow his will and his desire if I want his favor on my life. Now, what's the best way to battle these things sometimes? You know, when fires get out of control and you can't put them out no longer? You ever seen these big forest fires? We've been seeing lots of them around California. I tell you, it's dangerous to live there these days. Unless you're Smokey the Bear. I think he's got quite a bit of work going on right now. If a fire gets to burning out of control and they can't stop it, one of the very first things they do is try to fight it with fire. Fighting fire with fire. They'll go and dig a big trench around it, and they'll burn off a bunch of land because it takes away the fuel of the fire. So they'll do some controlled burns. And hopefully when that fire reaches it and everything's already burned up, there's no fuel for the fire and it dies. It extinguishes itself. There's other times when oil well fires over there. Y'all remember Red Adair over there, the man, great oil fire guy that puts out these big oil fires. Been famous for years, and he really did a big work over in Saudi over in the 90s when that war took place over there. The first one, what was it called, Desert Storm, and they set all them wells on fire over there. They take them dynamite charges and things, and they put them in there on a big pole, and they blow it, and it blows the fire out. The impact, the explosion blows the fire out where they can cap it. And so, again, fighting fire with fire. And so that's how sometimes that's what we need to do. Praise God. Now, the Bible tells us the Holy Ghost, it tells us in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at that. The Bible also tells us over there, it talks about that we would receive power. But over the Bible tells us in Luke 10:19 that he's given us power over all the power of the enemy. The Bible in Acts 1 and 8. Turn there with me to Acts 1 and 8. The Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." I want to look at the first part of that scripture, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now, how do we? Where's that power come from? The Bible tells us over in John 14, 21, it says, "For the Comforter, which will be sent in my name, he shall bring to remembrance all things whatsoever I have said unto you." Where's the power in the Holy Ghost? Where's the power in the Holy Ghost? What's that power we receive from the Holy Ghost? The power of the Holy Ghost is the revelation of the Word of God. It's the revelator of the Word. The Holy Ghost reveals the Word of God to us. Listen, we don't need 9 different translations of the Bible. I've seen Bibles, man. I heard a lady reading out of some Bible the other day. I ain't kidding you. I don't know where she got this thing, man. It hadn't been that thick because one of those scriptures that long had 79 verses in it. I was listening to it. I thought, what is she reading out of? And the Bible said, no, my Bible don't say that. It don't say nothing even resembling that. And they've changed it more and more and more and more and more and more. And, you know, I'm a King James man. I know the King James has a few flaws in it, but I know the history of the King James Bible. And I'm a King James Version man. Praise God, I'm going to stick with it till the day I die. And I study Hebrew and Greek as well, not probably to the extent that you do, brother, but I studied as well, and I have a lot of study helps. And so I look at the Greek and the Hebrew when I'm going through some of these scriptures and things, but man, I'm a King James man, and the Bible tells us that we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. He gave them power to go and become ministers of God. How do you become a minister of God? The first thing he says is, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And so it's through learning the Word of God. How is that power? How's that power against the fire coming against us? Because it tells us, it helps us to understand the Scripture. When you know the Scripture, it's your weapon. Praise God. You cannot fight a spiritual battle with a carnal weapon. The Bible says over there in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "Wherefore we are," "though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." In other words, we don't use carnal weapons. We don't use fleshly weapons, guns, knives, cannons, those type of things. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." What's that high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Spiritual wickedness in high places. When you research that house, that's what it's talking about. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. When you know that Bible, then you know the scripture that says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus." When the devil comes and says, "Oh no, I've got you. I've got you whipped. I've got you." No, 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 no. "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." "Oh, you'll never make it. You can't do it." "Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Praise God. He's my strength, my fortress, my rock. He's my buckler, my finisher. Praise God. The author and finisher of my faith. Praise the Lord. That Bible gives you the strength that you need. And it's the only weapon that's effective against the enemy. Jesus himself used the written word because it's unmovable, unshakable, unchangeable, unrefutable. The written word, once it's written, it is settled. It cannot be changed. Anytime the Lord changed his mind, it was before it was written. It was before it was written. There's no time after the written word was written that it was changed, that he changed his mind. Praise God. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Praise God. He's given us power over all the power of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to read and study that Word of God. Praise the Lord. We're going to be studying more and more on the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost and why we need it, why it's absolutely mandatory that we have it. Praise God. Yes, it's absolutely necessary that we have the Holy Ghost. You can't make it home without it. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Praise God. You have to have the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It's the earnest of your inheritance. It's the Spirit of promise. talked about in Ephesians 1, and we'll be talking about that in a sermon probably next week or the week after. Here in the next couple of weeks or so, we'll be looking at the earnest of our inheritance, which is just like putting earnest money down on a house. It was His earnest put in us. It says it's the earnest of our inheritance, it's the redemption of the purchased possession, praise God. It's what's going to help us come out of that grave if we're gone by way of the grave, or it's what's going to help us respond to that trumpet, praise God. The Bible says the Spirit bears witness with itself, and I'm fixing to get on that message, Lord, stop me. But you see, when you have the Holy Ghost in you, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, praise God, when he comes in the clouds, praise God, whether you're in the depths of the sea, whether you're in the earth, wherever you're at, doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're alive, dead, burned, shot, stabbed, turn to dust wherever you're at. Praise God, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, that Spirit that quickened His body out of that tomb is going to be the same Spirit that quickens your mortal body. Praise God. And I mean, it's the Spirit in the sky. When it comes on the scene, it's going to bear witness with the Spirit in you, because the Spirit bears witness with itself. Praise God. And it's going to light you up, and it's going to call you home by the Spirit. Praise God. It's going to quicken you out of that grave. Or wherever you're at, it's going to quicken you. Praise God. You're going to start lighting up. You ever seen some of these shows on some of these movies that they've had down through the years, where the big mothership comes along, and some little alien ship or something comes along, and somebody's and the little aliens is walking around among us, and all of a sudden little beepers start going off, and next thing you know, they start lighting up, things start happening because of the mothership's getting close and all that kind of stuff. Praise God. I know that's kind of a carnal reference, but you know, that's how it's going to be. Praise God. Oh, mama, when daddy gets on the scene, praise God. Oh, when daddy starts coming on the scene, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is what's going to wake you up. It's what's going to stand you in attention. It's what's going to take you out of here, praise God. Hallelujah. And it won't matter what fires are going on in your life at that point. Praise God, they will go out, because there won't be no fuel for the fire no more. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the Lord this morning. Praise God. I know this has been a real quiet, soft message, but they'll heat up eventually. You know, what I have is worth fighting for. What I have is worth fighting for. Paul thought it was worth fighting for. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. He said, fight the good fight. Lay hold on eternal life. This is something that you've got to grab a hold of and hang on. This is not just some nonchalant little easygoing thing. Listen, I've seen people talk about how hard it is to live for God. That's because they're trying to skate the line. They're trying to put one foot in the world and one foot in God. You can't do it. Many men have tried it before you. Probably better men than I'll ever be have tried it, and they can't do it. It cannot be done. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't half-heartedly do this thing. There's going to be many people that do that thinking they're going to make it home. Praise God, there's a sermon that we're going to be looking at here soon called The Mother of the New Covenant. Oh, let me tell you, the mother of the church. And it's really an awesome sermon. And man, it talks about those that are going to be standing before the door, and they're going to be saying, but did we not cast out devils in your name? And there's going to be many people that did have the Holy Ghost and still are not going to make it in. They had the power. They did cast out devils. They were living for God. But they let their guard down. And let me tell you something, church. Right before the finish line is no time to drop your sword and quit. Now's the time. You know, the people run this race with patience, the Bible says. This is, man, look, I mean, you need to run with patience, an endurance race that we're in. But praise God. How many of you have ever seen a marathon or might have run in some? I've seen pictures of them, and no, I don't want to run in none. Praise God. But let me tell you, oh, they get to, man, they run in and they steady themselves. But as they get toward the finish line, when they turn that corner and they see home, they see finish line, man, they They get that extra little burst of energy, and here they come. And the next thing you know, man, they're running faster and faster and faster, and it's a race to the finish line. Praise God. Oh, let me tell you, church, now's no time to drop your sword. Now's no time to give in and quit. Now is no time to let your guard down. If there was ever a time, brother, you nailed it right on the head, Brother Sieber, the other day when he said, and man, I'll tell you what, I'll never forget those words because they ring so true. He said, man, if there was ever a day that a preacher ought to be preaching, it's right now. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I pray that God would give me the right messages. I believe time is so short, you better pick your messages. You better pick those messages very carefully. You better let the Lord orchestrate that whole situation because, man, I don't want to waste one service preaching the wrong message. I want people to get the exact message God meant for that day. I don't want to stand before my King and Him say, what did you do over here? I had this message lined up, but you decided to go your own way. It happened to Moses. It happened to Moses, church. He couldn't go into the promised land. Praise God, we know he made it home because he was seen later with Elijah and Jesus. We know he made it home, but he didn't get to see. Listen, he didn't get to see it finished. David didn't get to build the temple of God because of some mistakes he made in his life. Doesn't say that's why, but I know that's why. I have a feeling that's why. But his son got to do it. He was thrilled with that. And Joshua got to go into the promised land. Praise God. But Moses lost out because he just missed it by that much. God's a very precise God. Amen? He's very precise. Now, he's a lenient God. He knows when we're stupid. He's not forgotten our frame that we're dust. He knows I'm dumber than three bags of rocks. He chose me anyway. But he also knows when it's willful disobedience. He also knows when it's your pride welling up and saying, well, I got this, God. I got this. I got this. I can handle this. I'll call you when I need you. All right, brother. Church, the Lord is coming soon. It is our job. It is our job to do everything that we can to win souls for the kingdom of God. It's our job to learn as much as we possibly can about the Lord. There's a lot of people, I had someone tell me just the other day, and I'm getting ready to close here in just a minute or so. Just bear with me a second. Had somebody tell me the other day, well, it don't matter what's going on around you. I'm not really concerned about it. It's going to happen anyway. What's going to happen is just going to happen. What difference does it make? I'm not going to worry myself over it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. Well, if you want to choose to stick your head in the sand approach, that's your business. But I wouldn't if I were you. It was said, I believe, by Winston Churchill, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. Meaning this, you need to know what that devil's up to. I want to know what's coming at me. I want to know as much about what's coming at me as I possibly can. Because it's not just us we're looking at, church. It's our family members. It's our children, our grandchildren perhaps. It's if you hear something, I don't know about you, but every church service I've been to in the past year, I have learned something new every single time. I mean, I've learned just maybe some little bitty tidbit, but something new. And something that was of attention, it kind of perked my ears up. Hey, what was that? And I believe that God is really, the Bible says knowledge would be increased. I know that Paul had the greatest revelation, the Word of God and all that of anybody that ever lived. But I believe God is a God that opens doors as they need be. And I believe God is letting us look into some things that He's not let us look into before, because I believe there's certain things in the kingdom of God that are set aside for this particular time. I believe there are doors and there are keys to the kingdom, to those doors that open up our helps that we need for certain situations we're going to go through in this time. I believe that there's specific keys that are going to be given to us in these last days that will enable us to open up doors of assistance in the kingdom of God. I believe that. And so I believe we need to know everything we can about what's going on around us and as much as we can about what's coming at us. I know the government keeps us in the dark more than most people realize, but I'm telling you, it's coming like a freight train. It's coming like a freight train. And it's not to scare people, unless that's what it takes to get them to the house of God, then scare the living daylights out of them. But praise God, I'm not here to scare people. I just want people to be aware and know, hey, it's coming. You better get ready. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're here today and there's anything in your life that you need to get under the blood, or if you're here today and there's any, you need prayer for your body, or you need prayer for any situation, or maybe a family member, whatever the situation, if you want to stand in the gap, make up the hedge for somebody, or you just want to come and pray, or come to the altar and pray. Praise God, I'd love to pray with you, and the church would pray with you. Praise the Lord. I don't like to ever close a service, no matter how many people, whether it's one or how many people's in the place, without giving an opportunity to come to this altar. Praise God. It's not just a place where we come and say, oh, I've been bad, I've done this, done that. But it's a place where we come and grab the hand of Jesus and say, Lord, I need some help with this. Or, Lord, I just want to thank you for this. Or whatever the situation may be, if you have a need this morning, I want you to just step out right now. Praise God. Don't hesitate. Praise God. And you can come to these altars this morning. Whatever the need may be, we're just going to tarry for just a second. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way this morning, Jesus. Have your way this morning, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Master. Have your way, Master, this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Brothers, y'all gather around me this morning here. Praise God. Help me this morning. Pray for, praise God, for Sister Hoffman this morning, my wife. Okay. All right, she's going to stand in for Sister Catherine this morning. Praise God. And so I praise God. I want to anoint you with oil this morning. I anoint out of the horn of oil, but I don't have my horn in here yet. Praise God. So we're going to anoint this morning. Praise God. We're going to anoint her on the behalf of, we're going to anoint her on the behalf this morning. Praise God. Sister Catherine, let's do that right now, brothers. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, according to your word, Lord, you said, is there any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Lord, and I pray right now, Jesus, according to your word, oh God, as Sister Hoffman is standing in the gap this morning, Lord, for our Sister Catherine, Lord, who is under the weather and she's sick in body, oh God. I pray, Lord, right now, Jesus, oh God, that you would touch her right now. Let her be a conduit, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost to move, Lord, upon her right now and heal her, Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, we believe your word this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you for it. We praise you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, brothers. Anybody else need anything today? Anything at all? Praise God. If not, we're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. I want to thank you so much, praise God, for allowing me to be here and for being here with me today. And I just want to thank you for coming. I appreciate so much the family of God, and I'm so thankful that you chose to.